25. The reversion to real space was different in the Yuuzhan Vong ship, somehow. Slower, maybe. Anakin made a mental note to try to discover whether that was merely perceptual or real. If the latter, were the alien ships more vulnerable during reversion? It would be worth knowing. Well, Corrin said, studying the changed star chart. Where are we? Are we surrounded again? Beneath the hood, Tahiri turned her head this way and that, as if looking for something. Nothing that I see, she said. There are plenty of ships in the system, most of them around that planet with three moons, but none of them look like Yuuzhan Vong Yorick Coral, and none of them seems to be paying attention to us. Interesting, Corrin mused. Three moons, eh? Is there a space station near that planet? That could be what that is, Tahiri said. From your description, this likely is the Yogg-Tuul system. The Given have pretty good detection equipment. I wonder if this ship somehow dampens the hyperwave shock during reversion, or if it's fully cloaked. I'll ask the ship if you want, Tahiri said. Do that. After a brief pause, Tahiri shook her head. It doesn't know, or I'm not asking the right question, but it doesn't detect any probes locked on us. Maybe that's why the slower reversion, Anakin speculated. You noticed that too, huh? Corrin said. He rubbed his hands together. Well, at least we didn't jump straight from a supernova into a neutron star, though I suspect we don't have a lot of time here. Tahiri, any sense of what this ship was supposed to do once here? This time Tahiri nodded in the affirmative. Yes, we're supposed to scent the readiness of the enemy. So it is a scout ship, Anakin said. Which means the main fleet will be expecting intelligence from us, Corrin concluded. The question is, how long will they wait before deciding something has gone wrong? Tahiri, can you fake a message? Stall them a little? Tahiri shook her head. No, I'd have to use a villip, which means they would see my face. Anakin watched Corrin ponder that unhappily for a few seconds. There are always the prisoners, he told the older Jedi. I realize that, Corrin said, though I doubt we can hope for their cooperation. It's worth a try, though. Meantime, we have to make contact with Yogg-Tuul. Any ideas there? The War Master had a villip modified to broadcast on our frequencies, Anakin said. True. Can you do that? No, Anakin confessed. Tahiri? The ship doesn't know how to, and neither do I. We can fire a remote villip at a ship if it gets near enough. Corrin barked a phrase of laughter. Which would certainly be interpreted as an attack. That's a last-ditch option. Anything else? Sure, Anakin said. I can modify the emergency beacon in the survival pack and run it through one of our wrist comm units. Then do it, Corrin told him. Meanwhile, I'll interrogate prisoners while Tahiri keeps an eye on surrounding space and an ear up for queries from the fleet. Anakin, be back here in half an hour. Corrin surveyed the prisoners. The prison was makeshift. There probably was a real one someplace, but Corrin hadn't wanted to waste the time looking for it. Using medical tape from the survival pack, Corrin had fastened the living captives to the walls of the corridor leading to the helm, where he could keep an eye on them. He studied the shapers first. They both had headdresses that looked like squirming masses of snakes. One had a hand that resembled some sort of sea creature, except that the fingers had tool attachments, pincers, a knife, and so on. Tahiri had insisted that the shapers needed to be strip-searched, and Corrin had agreed to a hasty one. The search had produced several dubious organisms that had been placed in another chamber some distance away. The remaining survivors, Anakin and Tahiri, had identified as members of the Shamed Caste, workers who maintained the more unpleasant functions of the ship. He didn't see anything in any of their eyes he thought he could work with. No fear or uncertainty, just a nearly uniform and haughty anger. Still, with a species you didn't know, it was hard to tell what facial expressions meant. "Do any of you speak Basic?" he asked. One of the shapers lifted his head, his orange-limbed eyes fierce. "I speak your infidel tongue. It tastes like the waste excretions of an ill vlor on my tongue. But I can speak it. Please ask me something so I may deny it to you." Not too promising. "We infidels don't normally sample the waste excretions of ill animals, so I don't fully understand the reference," Corin said. "I suppose that such delicacies are reserved for the chosen." "It's not possible for you to mock me," the shaper said softly. "Sure it is. You may be dense enough not to recognize it, but I can certainly mock you. What do you want with me, infidel? What's your name?" "I am Kotah, of the glorious domain Zunkin," he replied. "Who was designated to make contact with the fleet once this ship was in the Yagdul system, Kotah Zunkin? What was he supposed to say?"
"He will say nothing. You killed him. The warriors are in charge of this mission, of course, and do not think I will aid you in any scheme to defraud my people, Jedi. Our fleet is poised to strike, as you must know, and strike it will."
Corin's eyes narrowed, not at Kotah's words, but at something he had caught from the corner of his eye when the shaper had said the word Jedi. "I don't suppose you want to tell me when they will strike if they don't hear from us."
"I would be happy to vivisect you," the shaper offered, "so that your death might offer the Yuuzhan Vong knowledge and thus have meaning. I am inclined to do you no other favor."
"I'll keep that in mind," Corin said. "I don't get an offer like that every day. Every other day, maybe." He turned away from the shaper and looked more closely at the others. "Anyone else care to insult me?"
"I alone am able to mutter in your tuneless language," Kotah Zunkin said.
"That's fine," Corin said. "I have a translator." He approached one of the shamed ones. This was a smallish female, her only identifying marks a trio of poorly healed, puckered burns on each cheek. He cut her free of the med tape, binding her to the bulkhead. The shaper yammered something at the shamed one in Yuuzhan Vong, and she answered tersely. Corin pulled his blaster and motioned for the shamed one to go ahead of him. Together, they went up the corridor and into the control room. "What's going on, Tahiri?" Corin asked.
"Not much. We're still not noticed, so far as I can tell, and no more Yuuzhan Vong ships have jumped."
"No news is good news. Can you talk to one of the Vong for me?"
"Yuuzhan Vong,"
Tahiri corrected. "Whatever. Can you translate?"
"Sure,"
she said cheerfully, removing the control mask from her head. When the shamed one saw Tahiri's scars, her eyes widened, and she gabbled something in her own language. "What did she say?" Corin asked. He really hated having to rely on second-hand information. He hated having no information even more.
"She noticed my scars," Tahiri explained. "She asked if I am the Jedi who was shaped."
"She's heard of you?"
"I guess so."
"Very, very interesting," Corin thought. "Unless this one was actually at Yavin. And what would the odds of that be? Word was getting around, even among the shamed ones. Maybe especially among the shamed ones." "Ask her name," Corin instructed.
"It's Tan," Tahiri said after consulting with the Yuuzhan Vong.
"Tell Tan I saw her make a strange face when the shaper called me a Jedi," Corin said. "Ask her what that meant." Tahiri conversed with the shamed one briefly, then turned her green eyes up to Corin.
"She wants to know if it's true what they say about the Jedi."
"What do they say?"
"That the Jedi are the salvation of the shamed ones."
Corin considered that. "She thinks of you as something special, doesn't she?"
Tahiri's cheeks pinkened. "Apparently the story of what happened on Yavin 4 is a popular one among the shamed ones. Or a version of the story, anyway."
"Really? Can you get the short version from her? And be sure not to correct her if her story conflicts with the facts."
Looking a bit puzzled, Tahiri asked the question and received a lengthy answer. She translated it for Corin verbatim, in pieces. "The Jedi have powers that no Yuuzhan Vong has. We know the warriors, the shapers, and the intendants are jealous of these powers. Some even fear them. At first we feared the Jedi too, for they were infidels and dangerous foes. But on Yavin 4 two Jedi came. They came to redeem Vuor Rapung, once a mighty warrior who was marked with shame by the shaper Mejan Quad. One of the Jedi had been captured by this same shaper, and another became the comrade of Vuor Rapung. Together, side by side, the shamed one and the Jedi defeated the shaper and redeemed Vuor Rapung. He died as no other warrior has died, saluting an infidel. The gods not only permitted this, they must have aided it. Now many say that perhaps the high castes do not know the will of the gods as well as they say, or perhaps they are hiding our redemption from us. Perhaps shamed ones are not shamed because it was ordained. Perhaps the shamed ones are not shamed because the gods hate them. Perhaps instead our status is imposed on us by the high castes, so they will have hands to do the least and most onerous of tasks, so they may live lives of glory and not debase themselves with the mundane. Perhaps the Jedi are our salvation. The legend of Vuor Rapung and the Jedi suggests it, and is often told.
Wow, Corrin said, when the recitation was done. Are you sure you got all of that right?
Pretty sure, Tahiri said. I might have used a different word here and there, but it still comes out to the same thing.
Ask her if she believes this.
Again his query was translated and asked. She wasn't sure. Now that she sees our might, she thinks it may be so.
Ask her if she is willing to work with us, as Vuor Rapung did.
More unintelligible chatter. Then Tahiri grinned. She says she will help us, if there is anything someone as humble as she can do.
There is something we can try, at least, Corrin said. It may not work, but it should be better than nothing. Anakin returned to the helm, lugging the communication device he had patched together from the beacon and his comlink. He found Corrin and Tahiri with a Yuuzhan Vong of the Shamed caste. The Shamed One was talking to a Villip. The Villip had modeled itself to the massively scarred visage of a warrior. What? He began, but Corrin cut him off with a severe look and a finger held to his lip. Anakin took the hint. The Villip might pick up his extraneous sound and transmit it as well. He chewed his lips restlessly. The face on the Villip scowled and barked, hissed, and finally, more calmly, seemed to give a series of instructions. Then the Villip relaxed into its normal, neutral form. Corrin glanced at Tahiri. Well, he demanded.
I think it went pretty well, she said.
What went pretty well? Anakin asked. Our friend here just spun off quite a tale, Corrin told him, nodding at the Yuuzhan Vong. She told the commander of the fleet that when they came out of hyperspace something went wrong. She didn't know what, because she is merely a shamed one. She was tending the Grutchen larvae, located near the primary Dovin basal, and felt a weird jolt when she didn't receive any orders for a time. She went to see what was needed of her and found the whole crew dead. In fact, hardly recognizable, pasted all over the bulkheads. Anakin pursed his lips and then chopped his head forward. I like it, he said. That leaves a couple of possibilities for the commander to think about. Either she's lying, and there's been a revolt on board the ship, or she's telling the truth. If she's telling the truth, they'll know that what she described was the result of a complete failure of the Dovin Basal's ability to negate inertia, except right at the base of the basal. After that, they have to decide if the stalking moon ran into something natural. I don't know, a quantum black hole that made the basal recoil, something like that. Or some superweapon the Given have in place to wreck unwanted ships. Corrin nodded. Glad you approve, he said sarcastically. But beneath his tone Anakin sensed a cool admiration that made him feel suddenly self-conscious. You ever consider a career in covert security? The older Jedi asked. Anyway, yes, that's basically what I was thinking. Even if they think option one is the case.
Revolt? Tahiri said doubtfully.
I don't think so. Even if they could conceive of shamed ones killing warriors and shapers, they wouldn't want to admit it.
Do you know what would happen to the commander who let something like that happen on his watch?
As I was saying, Corrin went on a little testily, even if they consider one, they have to consider the others before they bring a whole fleet here or even a second ship. They're trying to explain to Tan how to relay the telemetry of the sensing nodules, and she's pretending to cooperate. So, let's hope they're for real, and we have a bit of time. Anakin, you were successful.
Yes, the signal isn't that strong, so it may take a few moments to tune.
Get started, then.
Anakin nodded and set to work.
Why Yagdul, do you think?
He asked Corrin as he fiddled with the gain, focusing on the distant hum of hyperwave noise from farther in-system.
I mean, if they want Coruscant, they already have Duro to stage from.
They're closing their back door. Yagdul sits on the intersection of the Rima trade route and the Corellian trade spine. It also gives them a clean shot at Thyphera.
Oh, Tahiri said, Bacta.
Right. If they control Bacta production, they control the health of everyone in the galaxy. Or maybe it's a ruse. The New Republic puts a lot of ships and material at Thyphera, and the Yuuzhan Vong try to take Fondor again, or push on to a less defended Coruscant from Duro. Either way, holding Yagdul gives them a lot more options.
Anakin had a steady feedback response.
All right, he said. We're ready.
Hail the Planetary Defense Force, Corrin said.
He closed his eyes, concentrating. He reeled off a quadratic equation, then smiled wearily.
It might not be right, but it ought to get their attention.
Hailing, Captain, Anakin said. 5 minutes later, there was still no response. Anakin modulated the waveform, sharpened the gain, and repeated.
It ought to be working, Anakin muttered. Unless they're deaf,
or unless their attention is focused elsewhere, Corrin mused.
What do you mean? Anakin asked.
Why wouldn't they be watching their borders? You don't see any ships or even probes in this region, do you? The Yuuzhan Vong have softened up other worlds with internal conflict and other methods of espionage. They may already have agents here.
Or maybe they've already poisoned Yagdul like they did Belkaden.
Too slow. Word would get out, Corrin said.
Unless they use something we haven't seen yet, Tahiri pointed out. That's what shapers do, you know, come up with new things.
Corrin nodded. They do seem to keep condensing weapons out of nebular gas, he allowed, but...
Their speculation was cut off by a whine and sputter from Anakin's rewired comm unit. Behind a sleet of gravitic interference, the naturally armored figure of a gibbon glowered at them with empty eyes. More than anything, her face resembled a large human skull that had been melted, allowed to sag and reform.
Yagdul primary bastion to unidentified ship, the Given said. You have used an outdated and illegal hail code. However, your ship conforms to the configuration of a Yuuzhan Vong reconnaissance vessel.
Then the mouth slit clattered something unidentifiable.
To Anakin, anyway.
Tahiri gave a little gasp of horror.
What did he say? Corrin demanded.
Tahiri turned her aventurine gaze on the other two Jedi.
It's Yuuzhan Vong. He said, Welcome. We've been expecting you.